Hi there, and welcome to Nika's Nuggets, where we sort through the happenings of life in search for the pebble in your shoe, the bears on the road, and the beliefs that keep you from moving swiftly along your path. Self-care, mental health, spirituality, and more nuggets to be found on the road forward. Are you coming? One of the things that I've always loved about growing up internationally is that I learned to speak four different languages fluently. And better even is that I get to use them all regularly. And at my old job, I would sometimes get to use all four of them within a 5 to 10 minute span. So much fun. And there's one Spanish class in particular. And I don't mean a Spanish class of the language Spanish, but the way English speakers get English class and Dutch speakers get Dutch, you know, like your language class. Stuck with me for going on to almost 2 decades now, and it was about the definition of communication. Now, at the time, my Spanish wasn't really developed at all, and I was very, very grateful for the simple graphics that my teacher put up on the board. Now, for there to be communication, you need, very basically saying, a message, a sender, and a receiver. Me, I am the sender. The podcast is the message, and you, my dearest, are the receiver. If I don't record, there is no message, there is no communication. If you don't listen, there is no reception of the message, so there is no communication. And if I don't publish, there is no sender, and there is no communication. How does that work when communicating in two different languages between a sender and a receiver? It works exactly the same, it turns out, except that the language the message is in is not as fundamentally important as one might think. Though, of course, it makes communicating a lot easier. I remember one of the first days after we moved to Chile, and none of us really spoke any Spanish, our host was asking my mother, with hands, feet, and a little bit of broken English involved, if we, the kids, understood any Spanish at all. When she said no, he smirked a little and proceeded to very loudly bark something at me that I did not comprehend as words. But I knew exactly what he meant and immediately took my elbows off of the table. We were having dinner and he wanted to remind us of our manners. Obviously, it happened a lot more often that he'd say something we didn't understand and then we couldn't properly respond to it. But this episode, this moment of understanding without a seemingly existing message, which was to take my elbows off the table, but in a language that I didn't speak, you wouldn't have think would happen. Anyway, I spent my high school years way different than most people. I know high school sucks for everyone, but it wasn't even that sucky. I just didn't have time to try to fit in. I was merely trying to understand. I was learning the language, and I was learning the culture. And I was sort of relearning how to communicate. And this came with the unfortunate result of being nicknamed the school's Mosquita Muerta, which is someone who pretends to not know but does, or a hypocrite, or someone who plays innocent. Ouch. However, that's not really the point. Far more importantly is that I also learned a lot about communication as a whole from having to do this. Misunderstandings happen so incredibly easily. And far from being in different languages, they happen just as easily when speaking the same one. So, for example, take texting or even emails or an instruction manual. It can be written with one intent, but understood on the other end with another. So missing intonation, body language, the physical material of what you might be communicating about makes it a lot more difficult. I would do a lot of translation work for my father, and there would always be at least one instance where I would read what he wrote so differently that the translation, of course, also turned out to not say what he wanted it to say, resulting in endless bickering over the original message's grammar, the vocabulary, the tone, etc. Don't get me wrong, I too prefer texting, but perhaps a phone call is a safer choice. Now, language is important all around. I just gave you a bit of an idea of what it does when communicating between different people. But what happens internally when we talk to ourselves? Does that same basic graphic for communication apply? Sender, message, receiver? Sender and receiver are one and the same. And if it's internal communication, it's kind of hard to get away from the message because these are your thoughts. So if all three of those basic points fall away, what is left? Vocabulary and tone. Okay, so I will admit that this may not be the most smooth of segues, but I was thinking about how we talk to and about ourselves and how much that is sort of lost in translation within ourselves. Self-deprecating humor is fun, I agree. But constantly bashing yourself or talking yourself down for the bit ends up working sideways. I can 100% know my own joke when I say I will die alone and that my cats will eat me. But the more I say it, the more it rings true in my brain and the scarier it becomes to the point that my body responds to the thought. And now it turns out that our brains cannot tell the difference between humor and truth, between self-deprecation or what we really mean to say. And that means that it's all the more important to be impeccable with your word, actually, when it comes to yourself. Because how big is the difference between I am going to do this and I am doing this? For someone like me, it's as big as the executive dysfunction that keeps me from actually doing it. I want to do this, to I'm going to do this, to I do this is like an evolutionary chain of behavior. So a lot of procrastinators and perfectionists, raise your hand, me, get stuck in the first stage of I want to do this. And that usually happens because we fear judgment and not being good enough. People suffering from executive dysfunction, show hands again, also me, tend to get stuck in the second stage of I am going to do this. And they just keep saying that they're going to do this. I am going to do this. I am going to do, and you keep automatically in the language that you're using. You keep putting it off because you keep placing it in your future. I am going to do this. And I am going to do this. So, how does it change when you start saying, I do this? I will do this. I will do this now. I will do this today. Just as like an editor's note, these are, of course, just a few examples that are based entirely on my own experience and that of some close friends of mine. Now, I find, anyway, that the most empowering thing you can do for your mind is to change the vocabulary you use to speak to and about yourself. I do this makes you immediately, almost magically, pick it up and do this. Calling yourself ugly doesn't actually make you prettier, but putting your focus on things that you love to do, for example, does. And if on top of that you can manage a I am pretty once a day, in all honesty, in front of a mirror, your whole worldview is going to change. It is mostly guilt and shame that keep us from embracing who we are or even who we wish to be, because you can always become that person. You just have to act like that person, which means going through the evolution of I want this to I am going to do this to I do this. If I focus, for example, on the guilt of not having touched my spinning wheel yet this winter, then all I'm going to feel is ashamed and guilty that I still haven't done that. I still haven't done that. I still haven't done that. But if I focus on all of the pretty things that I love making with spun wool, it gets me just a little bit closer because now I get like the feeling in my hands. My hands start itching that I want to do craft with wool. I need some wool to do that. So I'm still not quite there, but I'm a step closer to the thing and a step further away from keeping myself from doing it. Now, I think I gave one of my favorite tips in an earlier episode, possibly during my very messy season one of Nika's Nuggets. The thing is, treat yourself the way you treat your best friend. You would never let them look in the mirror and say they're horrible. And you would never let them throw away notebooks full of notes and poetry and lines that they've worked on for years just because they lost faith for a day in whether or not they're actually a poet or a writer. You wouldn't let your best friend harm themselves. And we keep on forgetting that negative self-talk is also a way of harming yourself. So next time you catch yourself being an ass to yourself, flip that script really quickly and be your best friend. Help yourself out. Not only can you do this, you are allowed and very definitely encouraged to do this. Listen to how you speak to yourself. Listen to how you speak to others about yourself. And while you're at it, listen to how you speak to others. What are you actually saying? Is what you're saying true? Are you certain? Could you say it differently? Could you change the tone? Could you be nice about it? Could you find the polar opposite of the thought that you wanted to say and then say that instead? Super tip. If you find this really hard, start by checking how you text. Apps, voice notes, text messages, tweets, posts, and even your journal, though technically not texting, still a text you create surrounding your own being, will show you major insight in how you subconsciously think about yourself and thus possibly sabotage yourself. It takes some time. All of these little habits that make life easier and that seem very overwhelming when you add them all up actually just take a little bit of time and a little bit of focus and just one thing at a time. Start by checking how you text. Start listening to the voice notes that you send to other people. Read through your old journals. When you're writing a tweet or a post or a message, reread it. You are your own editor. You get to edit the thoughts that you are putting out there. So use that to your advantage and give it the time to become a habit. And eventually it becomes so easy that it becomes a natural thing that you do. Thank you for joining me and listening. This is obviously not the end of the story, so stay tuned for more. Next time, we'll dig into the dirt for a new nugget and possibly clear some rocks from the road. Don't forget to like, follow, or subscribe, and check out nomadicnika.com for more. I am your host and awareness coach, Nika, and I hope I see you next time. You can also find me on Instagram at nomadic.nika if you're interested in seeing photos from trips, some of my favorite quotes, and some poetry that I've written myself, possibly another source for some extra potential nuggets.